It's This Week in Bourbon. It's not financial or legal advice, but here's your headlines for March 18th, 2022. Bourbon and straight American whiskeys have hit a new high for cases sold for the first time in over 40 years. House Bill 500 passes the Kentucky House and moves to the Senate, and Castle & Key is releasing their first ever small batch bourbon. But before we get started, here's a quick word from our partners. Always find what you love at Total Wine & More. With so many great bottles to choose from at the lowest price, it's easy to find your favorite Cabernet or a new single barrel bourbon to try with some help from one of their friendly guides. And with every bottle comes the confidence of knowing you just found something amazing. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly and be 21. From their bar to yours, Chad and Sarah of the popular YouTube channel It's Bourbon Night bring you their favorite at-home old-fashioned mix with the new Elemental Elixirs Golden Hour Syrup. It's a custom-made syrup with notes of bold black tea, warm spices, and orange zest. All you need is your favorite whiskey and ice. No bitters needed. One bottle makes 16 drinks, so that's only $1 cocktail before you add your own whiskey. They can also be enjoyed in other cocktails or spirits, mocktails, coffee, tea, and anything you can think of. It's crafted locally in Lexington, Kentucky, and you can get your bottle now at whiskeyambitions.com. Have you tried to identify specific notes in bourbon when nosing and tasting, but just come up empty? Well, you can train your nose to find all those nuances with a kit from Nose Your Bourbon. And unlike other nosing kits on the market, Nose Your Bourbon kits feature real ingredients for the most authentic aromas. So you can smell real Tahitian vanilla bean instead of some synthetic aroma made from chemicals. Head over to noseyourbourbon.com and enter the code BP10 for 10% off your order. It's that time of the year where everybody's starting to make their vacation plans on visiting Kentucky, the mecca of bourbon. And if you are coming to Kentucky, you need to make sure you visit us at Pursuit Spirits in Louisville. We're right in the heart of Clifton, near Butchertown and Nulu, and only just a few miles away from downtown Louisville. But when you do come, you need to book your experience to go do our whole shebang. This is the one that's really the star of the show. You get a full-on tasting, you get to do your own personal barrel selection experience, and you get to grab a whiskey thief and fill your bottle directly from the barrel. Or do something completely brand new that nobody else is doing here in bourbon country. Plus, you get a free sweet tasting glass at the end of it. I guarantee you, you're going to end up being one of the many people that's also leaving us a 5-star review. So make sure you come and check us out. You can book your reservation by going to pursuitspirits.com and clicking the Visit Us button. Welcome everybody back with another This Week in Bourbon. Kenny and Ryan here today, and we have had a pretty good week in bourbon already. On Monday, we got an opportunity to go down to the Fraser History Museum, which is technically the first stop on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. And if you ever get a chance, you need to go check it out. They've got a lot of cool just bourbon stuff that's kind of like gets you into the thought process of like, okay, are we going to do this 51% corn tour? But you get to go and kind of like make your own barrel. But the highlight of it was that they invited us down to taste some 1971 Davis County or Davies County Dusty Bourbon with them. And they've got quite the dusty collection.
Yeah, it's the biggest bottle or decanter I've ever seen. It was a rifle. Takes up the most bar space of any decanter I've ever seen. It was like
easily
what,
four, 6 feet. I mean, I thought it was easily 4 feet.
Maybe.
It was easily 4 feet.
Yeah.
I originally put 3 feet on my Instagram post, and I look back and I saw our picture with it, and I was like, that's easily bigger than my kid. If I had to pull up next to me, it's probably the size of a...
It was tall as you, Kenny.
It's a true musket. No, I mean, it's definitely probably almost a full-size rifle is what you would compare it to.
And it was only like a 500 ml or something. It wasn't a full bottle, and you're like, damn, that's a lot. You'd think they could fit 750 in this damn thing. But the whiskey was great. It was a great time seeing the Fraser. I hadn't been there in a long time. I'm embarrassed to say that, but my gosh, it's one of the cooler experiences I've been on recently, because just the historical side of it, they have this video playing that shows kind of anyone and everyone who's been in the bourbon industry or Hall of Fame and Well, not, and then the Dusty collection is
unreal,
mind blowing. It's like Justin's House of Bourbon, but you can't buy anything. but a lot more just crazy unicorn bottles. I was impressed. I would recommend, highly recommend everyone to go there if you're.
Yeah, and I think it's always go check out Justin's as well, because you can kind of look through there. They're kind of a almost like a whiskey museum, but you can buy some stuff. But this is a real whiskey museum, and it's got a lot of pre-prohibition and, you know, kind of like just after post-prohibition era bottles. I mean, a 22-year-old Kentucky Tavern, I'd never even seen that before. And seeing some of those bottles there, I mean, dude, do you remember the old Forrester bottles, how dark they were? Yeah. I've never seen that before. And they were like 5 years old. Insane how dark they were.
Yeah, they were triple toasting back then.
How many barrels can we?
Back in Prohibition, yeah.
We were trying to joke about, there's probably just a bunch of dip spit in these bottles, but.
Right, it's all like aspartame, or not aspartame.
That'd be sugar.
Maybe it is, it's Diet Coke in there, probably.
Mixed it with something.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and let's talk about some news here. So the one that is always kind of top of mind, we want to talk a little bit about what's happening with sanctions in Russia. And the first thing to kind of talk about is that spirit firms Diageo, Brown-Forman, and Edrington have suspended sales in Russia in response to the war in Ukraine. And in a statement, Smirnoff owner Diageo confirmed it has paused exports to Russia and Ukraine last week after it began its invasion of Ukraine on February 24th. Brown-Forman, the producer of Jack Daniel's in Finlandia, also confirmed yesterday back on March 9th, that it had suspended commercial operations in Russia. And from what I understand, I've heard it through the grapevine a little bit, is that, should I say, Brown-Forman is actually letting some of their international allies, or should I say international employees in like Ireland and all these other kind of people, like helping their employees in Ukraine escape the country. So it's really kind of cool to see that happen. The Macallan owner, Edrington, also confirmed the similar move. Stoli Group has also ended its use of the Stolichnaya name in response to Russia's invasion, and the United States will now start banning imports of Russian alcohol and seafood. And then this is just, again, in an action to impose costs on Russia for its invasion. So big sanctions are coming, I guess, and just liquor alone.
Yeah, hopefully all these sanctions add up to something. It's like, gosh, you would think this would had stopped by now, but hopefully more diplomatic way to end this thing, because it's the more it drags on, the more scarier it gets.
It does, especially for the global economy we all live in. But you know,
yep,
thoughts exactly. And prayers and everybody out there, I know it's a top of mind for everybody, but this is our first headline for the day, and that's the market for bourbon, Tennessee whiskey, and other straight American whiskeys has surpassed a staggering 27 million 9-liter cases domestically in 2021, and this is the largest it's been for the first time in over 40 years. The two biggest players in the category are Brown-Forman and Beam Suntory. They make up more than 60% of the overall market in 2021, and this is according to Impact Data Bank. While the flavored segment seems to have cooled off a bit, American whiskey's biggest names still remain in expansion mode. So the Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey franchise continues to climb, taking on over 250,000 cases of growth in 2021, and that's excluding flavors. Its super premium price single barrel variant surged an impressive 47.5% last year, and their super premium Woodford Reserve line has surpassed 1 million cases in the U.S. last year, while the Old Forester range achieved its highest volume in over 35 years. Jim Beam's core bourbon eked out a marginal growth in the U.S. last year, but the franchise received a boost from its new orange variant. Flavors contributed to 1.7 million cases to the Jim Beam franchise in 21. Again, this is all data coming from Impact Data Bank. Elsewhere in the Beam Suntory portfolio, strong double-digit growth was posted last year by upscale brands Maker's Mark and Basil Hayden, and solid performances were also registered by Premium Plus labels of Knob Creek and Old Granddad. Beyond the biggest two players, the momentum of Diageo's Bulleit, both the bourbon and rye expressions, were hampered in 2021 by glass supply constraints. Campari's Wild Turkey label registered solid growth, as did its American Honey flavor. Strong double-digit growth gains were recorded last year by super premium offerings from Heaven Hill Brands, which Elijah Craig was up 22%, and Bacardi's USA Angel's Envy grew 48%. Bourbon and other straight American whiskeys are expected to see continued growth in U.S. markets until at least 2025, again, according to Impact Data Bank, where the majority of the gains are going to come from upscale brands.
Can we get, like, five more years added in 2025.
Yes, we need that 2030 mark if we could really use that right now.
But some of those statistics are just mind-blowing. 250,000 additional cases growth for Jack Daniel's. That's not on flavored whiskey. That's pretty wild.
And 27 million 9-liter cases. So anybody that doesn't know, like 9-liter cases is not your typical, or is it your typical 6-pack?
It's a 12-pack.
That's right. So it's considered a 12-pack. Yeah. So think of all the brands that release 6-packs, double that. I mean, 27 million. And that's just domestically. That doesn't count internationally. So we can see that bourbon had and American whiskey in general, had a very, very good, strong 2021. I'd be surprised if, you know, Elijah Craig being up 22%, Angel's Envy 48%. Gosh, can they sustain that growth like every single year? Do you think it's got to not taper off, but it's got to go down a little bit?
Well, it's got to plateau. I don't know if it'll go down, but it'll definitely plateau.
Oh yeah, I don't think it'll go down.
You know, those growth numbers, you're basing it off the previous year. So if you grew 46%, to grow another 46% on top of that, it's like pretty, but
staggering.
You know. That's staggering, but good news all around. Did they say how many cases Old Forester did, or is that just like they did? They just like briefly said they did.
They just said that they didn't say exactly like how many cases. They just said it achieved its highest volume in 35 years. This report actually comes from Schenken News Daily. You can go there. There is actually the graph that has the list of the cases, I think, in it, but I don't have it here in my notes. But you can go and check.
That's okay. I'll check it out afterwards.
Well, speaking of money kind of going into the whiskey and distilling industry, here's one that we probably didn't expect, is that Kirin, who is the owner of Four Roses, will invest about 100 billion yen, or around $870 million, in its healthcare and pharmaceutical businesses over the next 3 years, as the Japanese brewer pushes beyond the shrinking beer market at home and setbacks to its core businesses in Asia. Kirin wants to use the technology of the beer-making process and its biotech adventures and avoid the fate of Eastman Kodak, which couldn't adapt quickly enough to digital photography. So Kirin's bid to reinvent itself reflects a broader trend among companies dealing with the rapidly aging population of Japan, where the beer market has shrunk by a third from its 1994 peak. The company also hopes to expand the sales of LC Plasma, which is a proprietary ingredient found in the company's health drinks and also used for beverages and foods produced by their companies. And Kirin will expand to produce Cytocaline. It's a supplement used to improve memory. I probably need that. It's sold overseas by building a new production facility that will be operational by 2023. So,
Yeah, that's interesting. Totally diversifying their portfolio from Japanese beer and American whiskey.
Well, I didn't know that Kirin had a biotech arm, but I guess these companies are, it's kind of like Samsung. Like Samsung, they make TVs, they make refrigerators, like they make literally everything.
MRIs and
everything.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm sure Kirin's probably the same exact way, that they probably didn't start off with just being known for their beer. They might have started off with something else, but who knows? I don't know the history, but I'm sure they've got to diversify.
Well, congratulations, Kirin.
Well, we'll see when
the rumor's still going that Four Roses is going to sell, but
hasn't happened yet. Well, now whiskey's booming, so I wouldn't actually expect them to do that. And we'll talk a little bit more about whiskey boom here as well. And this is kind of coming onto the on-trade, or bars and restaurants, if you will. So the whiskey market is worth more than $10 billion in the U.S. just in that the bars and everything like that. What's called the on-trade. And this is expected to thrive this year, and this is according to CGA's data. CGA's on-premise measurement, or OPM, research in the state showed that whiskey sales are now equal with vodka in volume terms, which each holding around 26% share of sales. In the last quarter, whiskey sales climbed around 98% year-on-year, compared with 93% growth for vodka. However, CGA noted that these numbers are inflated due to the on-trade's weak performance in the equivalent pandemic-affected quarter of 2020. American whiskey continues to be the leading whiskey subcategory with around 53% of total sales. It was followed by Canadian whiskey of 24%, Irish at 17%, Scotch at 6%, and Japanese whiskey at just 0.3%. Whiskey was also found to be more popular in cities such as Chicago, Dallas, and Denver. CGA's on-premise user survey found more than half, around 59% of whiskey consumers, drink outside of their homes on a weekly basis, and whiskey drinkers also tend to have more money, with the average household income around $95,000 a year, which is nearly a fifth more than the U.S. average of around $79,000. Furthermore, men make up 62% of all whiskey drinkers. Again, all according to CGA's data. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by this. I was in Franklin, Tennessee this weekend, and it's like everyone was drinking old fashions, Manhattan, some kind of bourbon concoction. There was a ton of cocktail lists with Tennessee whiskey, American or bourbon, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. It's always one of those things. Maybe it's like, I go to a restaurant and I'll look at the whiskey or I'll look at the cocktail menu. And of course I'm drawn to anything bourbon. I mean, because of what we do, of course I'm going to go look at the bourbon, but it's very rare that if I would find something because I'm not a big on jalapeno or chili infused kind of spirits and stuff like that, or even whiskeys and cocktails. But if I don't find anything I want in the whiskey aisle, I typically don't look at vodka. Sometimes it's usually mixed with some sort of like passion fruit or some sort of juice. And I'm just like, I want something that's a little more wholesome, more kind of like oomph, or should I say?
Yeah. I always skip over the vodka section. I'm not doing that. Not doing a lemon drop martini.
But I've gotten a little bit more into the gin side. So gin's
always. But margarita, I'll do that. I'll do some gin cocktails, but margaritas are always. Bourbon's where my heart is.
It always is. It always is. And speaking of bourbon being where the heart is, we've always talked about the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, but now they are moving beyond their September roots with the inaugural Bourbon Capital Barbecue Challenge and Distillery Invitational. And this is in partnership with the Kansas City Barbecue Society. So the barbecue competition will take place June 10th through the 11th at Log Still Distillery and kicks off with the Distillery Invitational on that Friday. It's kind of like a friendly amateur competition between distillers, said Randy Prass. He's the president and COO of the festival. It's not unlike what we used to do with the main bourbon festival in September with the barrel relay. So day one of the events will be a callback in honor of an event once hosted by Jim Beam that will showcase more than a dozen local distilleries, including Lux Row, Preservation, and Log Still, all competing to who scores high on the hog, meaning it's a barbecue competition for just people at the distilleries. The distilleries will also have tasting areas set up inside the new Dant Crossing Legacy building for both days, which guests can also purchase tickets. The grounds will play host to beer garden, live music, and bounce houses for children, as well as to incorporate fun for all the ages. Friday evening's event will also close with a fireworks display. However, Saturday jumps into the heated competition with the Kansas City Barbecue Society sanctioned cook-off, with 20 professional pitmasters facing off against one another for the grand championship title and a shot at the Kansas City Barbecue Society World Invitational. Day two of the event will wind down around 6 p.m., and after the award ceremony, so guests will have time to return back to Bardstown, there is going to be a street concert put on by Bardstown Main Street. General admission tickets for the barbecue challenge are $10 a day, and they can be purchased at kybourbonfestival.com.
Wait, the band's Bardstown Main Street? What?
It said for the street concert put on by Bardstown Main Street. I don't know if that's a band or if it's just you got to go to Bardstown Main Street. There'll be a band there. I mean, it's your hometown. You tell
me. I gotcha. Yeah, I have no idea, but barbecue and bourbon, that's two love languages, so I'm all for it. And the damn property is really coming together. It's beautiful. It's literally like 7 miles from my grandmother's farm, and it's really cool. And Wally's just done a fantastic job reestablishing, rebuilding that whole New Hope area. He like bought a gas station and was like, it's probably not going to make sense that you're going to be open, but we need somewhere for somebody to fill up. We're going to lose money, but we need people to be able to get gas out here. But that it is deep, though.
Yes. Well, now that if it's that close to your grandma's house, we should probably set up a bed and breakfast over there, some sort of Airbnb, hang out with Ryan. And
her house is still
there. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. See?
We can do tractor rides.
Tractor rides with Ryan. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I mean.
Do a hayride and I'll throw some pumpkins down the field if you want
to. Welcome to Gethsemane. Here's Ryan. He's your host, and he's going to walk you through how to eat ribs and carve a pumpkin.
And we can grab some crawdads too or something. I don't know. We'll get
there
adventurous.
You go. Well, I'll let you figure that one out. We'll put it up. It's going to have to be something completely.
We'll do that in 20.
Is that what it is? You got to see how this first one goes off. See if it's worth putting the effort to have you as a Airbnb super host. I think you'd be surprised. A lot of people probably love to hang out with the people's champ.
I don't think so. My wife doesn't even want to hang out with me.
All right. So our last news story for the week is that we reportedly, or should I say that we have done this for the past few weeks now, is that the Kentucky Private Barrel Selection Program was at risk of being shut down. I don't really think it was going to be at risk. They just basically said that the Kentucky ABC discovered that the current process of sampling and selling of fulfilled single barrels fell outside the law. But they were not seeking to shut down the process, but they requested that Kentucky spirit makers work with lawmakers to codify or modify the process. So House Majority Whip Chad McCoy proposed House Bill 500 to remedy this issue. And today, or should I say yesterday, House Bill 500 passed the Kentucky House on a vote of 75 to 17. So I don't know who you 17 are, but we don't like you. The passage included the following amendments to it as well. And if you don't, if you're just now catching this, definitely go back and listen to it. I think the main parts were basically we can sell bottles, we can do things by the sell them, should I say, have a certain limit to what you can actually sample from the barrel, as well as having an off-site tasting room experience in addition to your DSP license. But here are the other four amendments that were added to it as well. It's going to require a distillery to make at least 70% of its annual private selection packages available for purchase by wholesalers. Boo, I don't like that one. It's going to limit souvenir packages sold exclusively to distillery visitors to 3 liters per person per day. Right now, visitors to Kentucky distilleries can purchase up to 9 liters per person per day of anything in the gift shop. It also allows a vintage distilled spirit seller to put up or to sell up to 24 vintage distilled spirits packages in a 12-month period. Not too sure what that means. And then
What? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wait, you can only sell 24 bottles a year? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And then it's also going to calculate the wholesale price of distillery sales at 70% of the retail price if an actual wholesale price is unavailable. Again, not too sure. But the bill now moves on to the Senate for further consideration.
All right. I thought this had already passed like several times, but I guess it just
You love government. You know how slow this kind of stuff
is. I know there's the different branches, so yeah, I need to.
House to the Senate. Senate's going to have some sort of amendments.
We'll see in 2030.
I just think it's, I see this and I'm kind of like, oh, cool. We were moving the right direction. We were giving some more distilleries power to do, see some more profits out of everything that they do. It doesn't necessarily have to go through the three-tier system. But now they put in an amendment that says that 70% of your private barrel selections must go through a wholesaler. Like, what the? It just kind of irks me a little bit. Like, you have to go through, like, you can't just do, if you want to just be the person that says, hey, we're just only going to cater to bourbon groups and they come here and they can buy barrels. Like, nope, can't do that anymore. At least 70% have to go through wholesalers. So,
yeah, I feel like that should be like, I don't know, if they're going to do that. Do it like the same way they do the excise tax. Like if you're a certain size, mm-hmm. Maybe that wouldn't make sense, but I don't know. But it's like, just let the free market dictate. It always wins.
Well, I mean,
it's always fair. It always,
it was your republics and everybody like that had the say in that amendment because they're wanting to hold on strong. They know where their money's coming from. And so they have a ton of lobbyists and they spend a lot of money being able to do that as well. And also, it's just like, it's so weird that you're going to limit the people that are there for private barrel picks to only 3 liters per person per day. So they, even if they were there to actually buy their barrel pick.
Wait, to sample? Oh,
to buy
bottles?
Packages sold exclusively to the distillery.
Oh, so you can only buy 3 liters of distillery exclusives, but you can buy 9 liters of non-distillery.
9 liters of anything, exclusives. But you can buy 3 liters okay. of a distillery exclusive. So these could be things that don't make it to wholesalers. But the way I kind of think about this is that even if, say, me and you, we go pick a barrel somewhere and we're like, okay, we got to go buy these bottles and we got to get them to the other 32 members across the nation or whatever it is. Like, they're going to say, nope, can't do that. Like, you can only buy 3 liters.
It takes a lot out of our hands. Like, well, all right, you got to come pick up your bottles.
Of course, it's not. I'm just talking about for everybody. There's so many bourbon barrel picking groups out there, and I know that's what a lot of them like to do is they can go buy directly out of the gift shop. And I know,
yeah, because New Riff was
exactly
doing that, right.
New Riff was probably one of the pioneers of being able to say, yeah, we don't. If we can go and sell it directly at our gift shop, if you're a bourbon group, we can do that, and we don't have to do the whole wholesaler thing. So now this kind of works in a backwards fashion for what they were doing. But then again, I don't know what it all means. So we'll have to see what that means.
hasn't passed. So,
well, put it this way, I doubt things are going to go to the Senate and they'd be like, ah, remove these amendments. I mean, we don't really like that. It's not going to happen. They're going to add in more things. That's just how it works.
I would like to know who voted against it and be like, wow.
No, those 17.
They need need a C-SPAN for Kentucky state government. Sit there and watch these fools.
I'm sure we can. I mean, I'm sure there's. It's all government records. So,
it's all listed
somewhere. So you can go and you can find and see if whatever county your Kentucky House representative's from and be like, wait a minute, what the heck's wrong with you? But let's go ahead.
I'm going to vote next time.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll vote for you to take his place in the House. How about that? We'll start bourbon pursuit campaigns.
Maybe I'm going to run like. I'm for the bourbon people.
Yeah.
If you want bourbon, I'll vote for bourbon every time.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Except until, you know.
I would get ate alive in the government.
I was going to say, until a distributor comes and meets with you and he's like, so Ryan, would you like a new Cadillac to show up at your house next week?
Nope, not Cadillacs.
Okay.
I'll take a new lightning truck. No.
And all of a sudden, we just lost Ryan. He just got bought out by the big guys. Yeah.
Nah. I'll never get bought out.
Not yet.
I'm for the people.
Oh, you are. You're the people's champion. That's why. But let's go ahead. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with some bourbon release news. If you're anything like me, then you can't get enough about bourbon. And that's why I'm a subscriber to Bourbon Plus magazine. Bourbon Plus is a quarterly publication that tells the stories from the heart of bourbon. The farmers who grow the grain, the distillers who labor over the process, and the people, like you and me, who raise their glasses to celebrate it all. Subscribe to Bourbon Plus magazine today at bourbonplus.com, that's PLUS.com, and use code PURSUIT at checkout for $5 off your subscription. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. And you can get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bourbon, all lowercase, and go to shopify.com/bourbon to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/bourbon. All right, here we are, bourbon release news time, figuring out what is happening, what's dropping, and what do you need to get ready for to go and bug your liquor store owners about. So we've talked about RTDs, and I think last time we talked about RTDs, we were trying to decipher, are ready-to-pour cocktails out of a bottle considered an RTD or not? I don't know. I'm thinking it's still technically ready to drink, but typical sense, you still want out of a can. I know you want out of a can.
Yeah. I prefer can, but I guess in theory, the definition would be still ready to drink, even though it's out of a bottle. But I'd like no glass, just so I can take it on my boat to the beach, you know, something like that.
And technically, I guess if you just take a bottle of bourbon and open it and you drink it from the bottle, it's still ready to drink.
Well, yeah, that's ready to drink. Yeah, like wine's ready to drink always.
So I guess everything's ready to drink.
I just don't.
So I guess an RTD.
I just don't like bottles. They're hard to pack in a cooler.
Yeah. So I'll bend on you on this one. I think if to be considered an RTD, it has to be in a canned form. Something that you can easily throw away and pack in a cooler on a boat or something.
Is this an amendment to the RTD
it's
is?
It's our amendment. That's what we had to put into this because we started crafting the definition. It only took a week and a half later for me to start flip-flopping on what I thought here.
Yeah.
All right.
Real nice way to stand up for what you believe.
Hey, you show me a better piece of data and I'll go ahead and be like, oh yeah, I'll go join that side. They know what they're talking about.
He's a flip-flopper. Can't vote for him. Can't.
All right. So Brown-Forman, they're elevating their everyday occasion with the introduction of Up and Over fine and classic cocktails. And this is a line of super premium, ready to pour cocktails. These 375 milliliter branded cocktails are made with all natural flavors and world-class Brown-Forman spirits, ready to serve up or over ice. So designed by Brown-Forman spirit and cocktail experts, the offerings include Up and Over's classic dry martini made with forged gin, Whiskey Sour made with Gentleman Jack Tennessee whiskey, Premium Margarita made with Herradura tequila, and Ginger Citrus Old Fashioned made with Old Forester straight bourbon whiskey. These will be retailing for approximately $15, and the four expressions will be available initially in the following U.S. markets: Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Michigan, Oregon, and Washington.
What the heck?
Yeah, I know. Well, here's, you want to say what the heck? So Brown-Forman actually sent us two of the four. And you would think, hey, these guys, the whiskey podcast, right? We should probably send them the whiskey one.
Give them the martini. Yeah,
we got the dry martini and the premium margarita. They didn't send us all the whiskey ones.
Well, I guess they're just trying to convert us. They knew we'd like the whiskey one.
That's true. You take the dry martini. I'm not a martini person.
They're scared of the Sagamore ones. Those are so good that nothing else compares.
Well, I mean, this is a little bit different. I mean, this is hitting that ready to pour cocktail, not necessarily got to crack a can open. So it's good that they kind of look into this. I mean, heck, you're seeing a lot of people venture into this space, whether RTDs or anything like that. And this is always good.
Yeah, for the Total Wine Shelf was... Oh, sorry. I was at Total Wine the other day, and I was like amazed how many there are now.
Well, good. I like branching out and finding new things out there. I still have yet to have like a really good whiskey sour. I still like making my own. Same thing with like an old fashioned. I still like kind of making my own a little bit, but maybe that's just because I like using barrel proof in mine.
We'll get you on a pontoon. And
I can't have like four barrel proof old fashions on a pontoon. That's not going to be.
And you can't pack your bitters and your cherries and your shaker can.
That's true. Got to make it easily accessible. And that's not the case. So Alberta Distillers, they have announced the introduction of their signature core expression, Alberta Premium, to the U.S. for the first time. The stateside launch follows the successful relaunch of the highly coveted Alberta Premium Cask Strength Rye Whiskey back in 2021, which we had reviewed on a former Whiskey Quickie. So this premium 100% Canadian rye whiskey currently boasts the title of the number one selling 100% rye whiskey in the world, as outlined by IWSR global sales numbers. It's made from 100% Canadian prairie rye grains grown by local farmers. The grains are uniquely nourished by nutrient-dense glacier-fed spring water from the surrounding Rocky Mountains. It's bottled at 80 proof and will begin to hit the shelves this month with an SRP of a mere $25 per bottle.
You got Fred Middick on your mind? Yes.
Why is that? Do I have an ascot on?
No, you said instead of Fed, you said Fred.
Oh, but no, it's, never mind.
That was a terrible joke. It's just like, I apologize.
I start looking and I read ahead. I read ahead a word and I said glacier fed, but the next word was spring. And so I just started putting fed and spring into one word and it just ended up being Fred. That's how it happens.
I blacked out for a little bit. It was the number one whiskey in the world.
According to IWSR's global sales number, is the number one selling 100% rye whiskey in the world. But this is just now coming to the U.S.
I don't know many 100% rye whiskeys, but I know. I guess Woodinville has one, but
The majority are all 95.5. So right. I was like, "Yep, you're right." Bullet rye doesn't count.
A lot of people can claim they have the most selling 95.5 rye in the world. The list is endless.
Well, they could do that, and then what if somebody's like, "Hey, we have the 100% number one best-selling 72% corn mash bill in the world." You can just keep going with these things.
One point off at any mash bill that's listed ever, and you could become the number one seller.
It's marketing at its finest, my friend. Got to find that angle.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think it's pretty obvious to say it. Everybody knows that Ryan and I, we're both fans of Kentucky, and we're both pulling for the Cats here. Going to tournament time, but Kentucky football also had a pretty good season last year. And in honor of their winning season, Lexington-based RD1 Spirits is releasing an exclusive Citrus Bowl edition of William M. Tarr Kentucky Whiskey. that will be sold at their Spirits pop-up tasting room and gift shop. This limited release, which features a collectible label, will debut its special VIP meet and greet event with the University of Kentucky head football coach Mark Stoops on March 26th at 1 to 5 p.m. at their tasting room. It's aged 7 years and presented at 103 proof. RD1 pays homage to Kentucky's winning record of 10-3. The label's chrome lettering reflects the team's silver helmets, and the artwork boasts an official Citrus Bowl logo and final score. Those who want to be first to get their hands on the special release can pre-order up to 6 bottles per person, $80 a bottle, at rd1spirits.com while supplies last, and they can be picked up and autographed by Coach Stoops at the VIP meet and greet.
Mr. Tar wearing a cat's helmet on the bottle.
That'd be cool. You might as well. So this is the brand that is also owned by Stoops as well. So
that would make it. I remember having it.
Yeah, we reviewed their, I think it was just their,
it was like a blend of mash bills, right? It was like rye mash bill and a bourbon mash bill. And it was pretty good, yeah, really.
I think we were looking at trying to find, that's what we always do. We do the whiskey quickies and we're like, dang, well, this is actually good. Where's this from? Wait a minute. How did they get 6-year Kentucky bourbon? Nobody can find 6-year Kentucky bourbon. Where'd they find this from? So
I'm like, damn Stoops, yeah. Shaking hands.
Somebody's figuring stuff out. We'll get there. We gotta shake some more hands. Or maybe shake some trees, one or the other.
We just gotta go 10-3 in football. We'll get some access.
We're gonna
for now it's new make and four year.
We're gonna adopt an XFL team. Do they still have XFL? We should bring that back maybe.
I don't know.
You got me on the XFL maybe. When you made me watch that movie the other night.
Oh, yeah. That was arena football.
Oh, same. So that's not XFL? What was Oh, yeah. XFL was actually on like an outdoor field. It was just not the NFL, right?
Yeah, there was like no rules. It was like WWE football, basically, I think.
Which is weird because why wouldn't something like that stick around? You'd think that people want more rough and tough kind of stuff because that's why
people like boundaries.
But see, that's the weird thing is like, I see what boxing used to be. Boxing used to be everything. And then MMA has kind of taken that over because it's just like an all-encompassing, way more aggressive sport. And then you would think something more aggressive in the realm of football, it would catch on. But I guess it didn't.
No, it's started with gladiators and then get to American
gladiators
football.
Ready!
They like sports, but not people to get hurt and killed.
Well, I tell you what, after being a child, I mean, I tell you, he brought some good memories there. Gladiators was the best, especially, what was it? They'd sit behind that cannon and have like those tennis balls and you have to like go through and try to get through. And you had to pick up the other like bazooka or the bow and arrow and you have to try to hit the target on top of them. Oh, dude, those are...
The joust, the, like they're on the things, jousting is like trying to keep their balance. It's like one hit. And
I mean, joust was almost probably like the most unfair of it all because gladiators were shredded and they got to practice on it all the time. It's just like you going into a blind and just like, oh, here we go. Let's see if we can get this. I think you have a better shot at all the other ones. And the joust was never easy. What was the one that also it had the rings? You had to like do the rings and kind of get yourself across. I know my upper body strength just couldn't do it.
Where like people are just swinging at you, kicking you. you're like,
if they kick at you and then they have to wrap their legs around you and they just try to put all their weight on you and pull you down, snap your arm out of the socket.
We have a pull-up bar at our shop and we did a hanging competition, like how long you could just dead hang. And like the longest time was like a minute 10.
That's still a pretty good time.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
All right. I'm sure people will love our reminiscing on gladiators.
I know. What are we talking about?
Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Blackwood Distilling. So this was actually a company that Ryan and I got a chance to go and hang out with the Justins and go taste this whiskey. And it's actually very, very good. But they have announced their arrival of Blackwood Toasted Bourbon. This is a new style of blending bourbons finished in both toasted and charred secondary barrels. The brand is almost 2 years in the making and led by the owners Guinness and Lisa McFadden. The couple named Blackwood after their stable, which is home to the 2019 Kentucky Derby winner, Country House. And they also worked his way up through the horse racing to actually groom into owning the Derby winning thoroughbred. And Guinness soon set his sights on another Kentucky industry, bourbon. He enlisted the help of two friends, Justin Sloan and Justin Thompson, as consultants to the handling, the sourcing, and blending of the bourbon he envisioned. After finding what they were looking for in a group of 6-year-old bourbons from Bardstown, Kentucky, the group set to finishing select barrels from the groups in 3 different types of secondary barrels. They had toasted, char number 2, and char number 4. When those single barrels were deemed ready, they were set to blending. Just 9 barrels were chosen for the Blackwood Toasted Bourbon Batch 1, and while the brand declines to give the exact breakdown of each secondary finish, they do tell us that the majority were toasted. The final blend is bottled at cask strength, which is 121 proof. There is just 1,700 bottles of Blackwood Toasted Bourbon that will be arriving on shelves at Justin's House of Bourbon, Total Wine, Ernie's, and other fine Kentucky retailers, with a suggested retail price of around $150.
Yeah, you can meet 4 of the nicest people. Yeah, they were gracious hosts, beautiful farm, just but the hospitality and the people are even greater. And we tried this, and it's, I hate doing hyperboles, but it was one of the better jobs of doing a toasted barrel expression I've ever had.
And it's more than just toasted, just like, yeah, they brought in other secondary finishes or secondary char levels into it as well. So I think they did the Justins did a really good job of blending this and making a great product out of it at the end of the day.
Yeah, it was just, you know, with toasted, you usually get those like chocolate, campfire, s'more notes, but this just had like tons of fruitiness, tons of, you know, char. Everything you'd want. It was really good. I was really impressed.
I think the 6-year-old, you'd probably think it was probably closer to like an 8 or 9 when you tried it. And it was definitely one of the better ones that I'd tried in a while as well. So make sure you go check it out. Good people, even a really cool story after, you know, after going and see the farm and actually seeing the practice tracks of where all the horses go. I mean, it was just,
and we got to see the
trophy. Yeah. That's cool. Quintessential Kentucky. That's what that is. So our last and final news article is that Castle & Key, their small batch bourbon, is now being released. This is the first proprietary bourbon to be distilled and released by Castle & Key from the restored grounds on the old historic Old Taylor Distillery in nearly 5 decades. The mash bill is 73% white corn, 10% rye, and 17% malted barley. Castle & Key Small Batch Bourbon 2022, Batch 1, is composed of 80 barrels, all 4 years old, bottled at 98 proof, and has an SRP of $55. This will be available at Castle & Key's distillery and distributed through a bunch of their states here on this upcoming month. So go ahead and get that going. I think this is, who knows if this is Marianne's touch or somebody else's.
Is that non-age dated, I guess, 4 years?
It's non-age dated, but it just said it was 4 years old on their website when I could dig and poke and prod around and see what I could find.
Yeah, I'll be interested to try it. I think the like Castle & Key bourbon distiller we've had is the Blue Run, and it was pretty good. For their high, but it's a different mash bill.
It's a different mash bill.
Jim Rutledge mash bill. So, yeah, I'd love to. I'm excited to try it because I love that property and tons of history. Hopefully, the distillate's just as good.
That's why I tried to emphasize that by Castle & Key, because this is the first time that they are releasing it, even though there's been a multitude of other brands. I think Pinhook might have been doing some other stuff. I can't be too sure. Don't take my word on that. This is all skepticism. This is not advice. So just make sure that.
Yeah, you said from the beginning, it's not legal or financial advice.
All I do is like to spread rumors. I'm not entirely sure, but this is going to be their first bottle. And unlike their rye, it doesn't have hands going all over it. It's actually pretty good looking. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, I did see the package. It looked nice.
Very classy. Just like what...
What was the retail on that?
$55.
Gotcha. Yep.
You just want to know where we stand, huh? They're bottled at 98 proof and $55. So we're always comparing ourselves. I mean, is that how it is?
13 more proof. Or what'd you say? 98 proof? 98. So 10 more proof, $10
for us. That's fair.
Unless you're at Costco, then 55. Same price.
Yeah. Costco's got some other great deals, but... That's going to do it for all the deals that we could talk about on This Week in Bourbon. We hit a lot of good topics, a lot of great things. But with that, cheers, everybody. And we'll see you next week.